The opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the official positions of the sponsors, advertisers, or presenters. Advertising does not imply endorsement by the sponsors and presenters.
Hey guys, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Lighting Controls Podcast. We have another fantastic guest lined up for you today, but before we jump into everything, let me just take a second to remind everyone that today's episode is presented by the LCA, the Lighting Controls Association.
And it's financially supported by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, or NAILD. Check out our website, lightingcontrolspodcast.com, where we got all of our episodes, a news feed, and also a merch store if you want to support the podcast. Additionally, if you want to learn more about lighting controls, you should check out Leducation next month in March. I will be there. Ron may be there. I will be presenting there with Rita Renner from McWong. We're going to be talking about Bluetooth mesh. Definitely a great topic to discuss, but also there's always great opportunities for learning at Leducation. You should check it out. Also, wanted to give a huge shout out to our sponsor for this episode, McWong. Check them out, McWongInc.com. They are an excellent provider for Bluetooth mesh options when it comes to lighting controls. They've been in the industry for a very long time. They have support right here in the US, ready to go to make sure that your projects are good. And additionally, they're a great partner of our guest today, which is with Kasambi. They do a lot of the hardware in a lot of cases, and they really want to make sure that their partnerships with other companies are effective for lighting control solutions. So they do a lot of outreach as well. And so that's another reason why you should consider them. So check them out again, McWongInc.com. But until then, let's get into the conversation. So today we have Peter from Kasambi. Peter, do you mind just giving us a quick breakdown on who you are and what you do?
Sure. Peter Augusta, I'm the general manager for Kasambi. I've been with Kasambi now for almost 4.5 years. And prior to Kasambi, I was a lighting manufacturer for about almost 20 years. And actually before that, I was in software sales. So it kind of shows why I wanted to get to Kasambi, because you take light, you take software, and you jam them together, and you've got Kasambi. My passion is absolutely about using technology to kind of automate processes or automate systems such as lighting controls. Love the lighting industry. Was drawn into it somehow out of software, and stayed with it because of just the personalities, the types of people that there are in this. It was so much fun, the creativity, and actually being able to see your project afterwards and then go into your project. It's a hell of a lot better than installing an ERP system.
Absolutely. No. And so, I run into so many people who ask me questions, and it's sort of like, well, you know, here's sort of an answer to your question, but regarding Kasambi, what exactly is Kasambi? Because it seems to be popping up in a lot of interesting locations and on different products. And so, you know, just for our listeners who aren't aware of what exactly Kasambi is, do you mind giving us your little elevator pitch for that?
Yeah, it's the latest dance craze to hit the nation. People hear the name Kasambi, and it's funny. It used to be, last year people would come up to us and say exactly that. What is Kasambi? The interesting thing is now they're saying, gosh, I'm seeing Kasambi everywhere. We've experienced it. This is great technology. It's really helping us out. But our Kasambi is lighting controls, Bluetooth mesh or wireless lighting controls solution. Came out of Finland maybe 13 years ago now, and made its way over to the United States about 5 years ago. Unfortunately, the first year was kind of dominated, or first 2 years really were about dominated by COVID. But since then, Kasambi here in the United States has really taken off. But to answer your question, it's a highly simplified version of lighting controls. Simplified in the fact that it's really easy to design with. It's simplified in the delivery, the implementation, and it's simplified in the way that you use it and that you maintain it. When I say simplified, it doesn't mean that it's lacking in any type of feature functionality or complexity. It's feature rich. It's actually, in a lot of cases, known as being more feature rich or the most feature rich system that's out there under one roof, if you will. At its core, it's a wireless mesh control system, very simple to implement.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a lot of software essentially.
Yeah.
That is supporting a lighting control system. Is there any hardware, or are there specific pieces of hardware that Kasambi is directly involved with?
Yeah, and that's a good question. Kasambi is really at its core is a software company. We work with hardware providers like Mikwang and enable them or help to enable them. We give them a chipset. They have our software, Bluetooth radio, and then they would implement that inside of their control gear, whether that would be a switch, a sensor, a power pack. Kasambi does offer some bits and pieces of hardware. We do have what we call our modules, little white boxes like this. It's about as big as a matchbox that they can actually go in and reside inside of a light fixture. They come with the ability to speak really any protocol that's out today, 0 to 10, phase, reverse, phase, PWM, Dolly, DMX, and so on. So there, from a hardware standpoint, our strategy is to enable other providers, Mikwangs, Ulums, even lighting manufacturers, the Urcos, the Zumtobols, the LF Illuminations, the Delta Lights, and so on, and stay out of the hardware and really deliver the software, the guts, the smarts of the system.
And so where do you see, you know, the biggest challenge when it comes to that? Because it sounds very exotic from the perspective of the most historic lighting control solutions out there. It's much more in line with the more predominant ideas behind lighting controls when we're talking network lighting controls or LLLC. But you know, what are the biggest challenges in North America to widespread adoption of this sort of mindset of, you know, having embedded mesh devices inside of your luminaires?
It's no different than really any other technology change. You can go back through history, and I'm a product of the 90s as far as business goes, and growing up in the startup environments of the software, software startup companies, certainly saw the changes from Cisco to, you know, or from IBM to Cisco as an example. You can use Blockbuster to Netflix. There's always changes in technology that are, you know, have challenges in the beginning. So I think the biggest thing is really just the education, or not necessarily education, the adoption of or the switch over that people need to have in their mindset from the old ways of doing things, the things that they're used to doing. Most electrical engineers are used to just saying, hey, this is the way that we go. And they just start their drawings and so on. ECs say, okay, I got a power pack, I pull it out, I put it up here, I'm used to changing these dip switches. That's the biggest issue that we have, and the biggest learning curve that we have to get people over. And the fortunate thing is that when they do utilize our system, when they experience it firsthand, they like it. They see the simplicity of it. They see how it changed their work. Took out maybe some of the variables if it's an EC and troubleshooting, made their life a little bit easier. And then they tend to come back. But yeah, the upfront thing is dealing with that, the perception, and dealing with the mindset, just getting people to accept change.
Yeah. So you mentioned education, and that's one thing that we talk about a lot on this show is education. And at the forefront, everything we do is based around education. The more information we can put in front of people, the better decisions they can make. So, following up on that, how have you dealt with and addressed people's concerns of using wireless for an entire project where, you know, like the mindset was everything's wired? How do you address those concerns and potential concerns with communication issues based on geographical region and, you know, density of other wireless signals?
Right. It's really just through proof points. once you get a project and you put the project in and somebody else sees that project, well then, okay, you know, that's acceptable in that type of an environment. And it's a series of going through them. You know, now we stand here today where we have environments like the air traffic control tower in, I think it's in the Netherlands, in the Amsterdam airport. Also, we have a Helsinki airport. We have banks here in the United States. We have hospitals. We have environments where, you know, you don't want the lighting to fail. And by getting through those projects, by shedding a light on that, that's when people start to accept it. In lighting, I think in the construction industry in general, that's a long haul. You have to be here for the, yeah, for the investment. It's difficult for somebody just to come in and say, aha, we're here, you know, give me the, you know, $10 million project. You got to start slow, yeah, and you've got to kind of build your way up. There's a formula to it and there's really no way around it. My CEO of Kasambi always says, you know, we could either do this in 12 months or we could do it in a year. It takes that year.
Yep. It most certainly does. Well, so when you get concerns based around, you know, mm-hmm, radio signals and wireless, how do you address that with customers? How do you approach that and go to a designer and have those mm-hmm conversations?
Yeah, again, proof points, showing them, you know, environments that are similar to that of what they're trying to design for. We certainly have done our share of mock-ups. Whether that's in a design studio, whether that's in an environment, outdoor, I don't know how many times we've set things up in parking lots and, you know, in different types of environments. That's been a big process, big part of it. I think in the lighting industry in general, regardless, if you have a light and it behaves a certain way, you still see people do mock-ups. So, you know, it's just kind of part of the industry. You can't get away from that. But everybody seems to have their process a little different way. I think more and more people today are accepting wireless, specifically Bluetooth mesh, as the way of the future. And they're getting more and more comfortable with it. You know, as the big guys switch over to it, which we're seeing, they're, you know, paving the way as well. So us smaller guys are, you know, we're one of the biggest players in the mesh. We're still a small player in controls in general. So bigger guys come into it, they're helping us out as well.
All right, so fun question time. If you had a magic wand and you could change mm-hmm anything about our industry for the better, what would you change?
Oh, I don't think I'm allowed to talk about that. There are so many different things that you'd love to change. But yeah, I mean, if the magic wand, you know, man, love for people to just, you know, be open to trying new things. Everything's about consistency. Once you try something, you know, once you've got it going, you just don't want to mess up your flow, if you will, right? You know, the lighting industry in general is chaos. There's so many different levels. There's so many different influencers and so on. Having come out of the software industry, in the past, you know, when I sold to Xerox for some, you know, there was, you know, people inside of Xerox and you sold to them. You know, there might have been an outside consultant, but the lighting industry in general, whether it's controls, lighting, you know, or, you know, pipe and wire, or whatever, there's so many different endpoints. There's so many different people with a, you know, with a piece of the pie or a stakeholder, you know, there's a stakeholder in this process. And honestly, I don't know how a building gets out of the ground and gets built. It's when you really think about it, right?
Yeah.
And all the different people and they're ordering things down to like little nuts and bolts. It's amazing that it happens. I don't know that doctors should be making as much money as the people that are making these buildings come out of the ground. It's amazing. But if I had that magic wand, I would simplify that process. But somehow.
Well, so what do you think the roadblock is to people adopting things quicker?
What I had said before, people get set in their ways. As an electrical engineer, you're selling your time, right, to come up with a design. And if something works, it works, you're going to go with that. It's less time and energy. And then also, that it works. So you're not going to have people coming back to you and saying, why did you do this? And I can't blame anybody for that. I do that, the same thing in my personal life, probably have done it in my professional life as well. But it would be nice if it would be easier if people were more open, but that's kind of for me, for Kasambi, for companies like us, it's actually a good comfort level too, because it means that, any old company just can't come running in and just throw it out there. You've got to prove your mettle. You've got to prove that you can do this. You have to have the support. You have to, be able to have the grit and the drive to be able to get it done.
Yeah, definitely guilty as charged right here. Definitely, right? Too many times I'm set in my own ways. I know these specific products work the way I want to every single time. And I will consistently go back to them every single time because I know it's going to work. And I think, again, it comes back to education. A lot of the pushback that we see and hear in the industry is because people have been burned by wireless. And it wasn't necessarily mm-hmm. Bluetooth. It wasn't mesh. Mm-hmm. They've been burned by wireless in some manner, right? We all have. I think we've all been there. We've all had that bad experience, which I think leads to a lot of the sort of issues with the idea and adoption of widespread, Bluetooth mesh. Because you get people who say, well, won't my phone, if I have 10,000 people in this arena, won't it interfere? And so there's a lot of those concerns, and it is going to take a lot of education and boots on ground and case studies to really get through that. But how do you, right? I mean, there is no magic wand. Like you said, that's an ordeal that's going to take 12, 24, 36 months, however long, to sort of break through. How do you, is there an easy way to convince people or break through that, to tell them that it's safe, it's reliable, it's going to function the way you want it to?
Time, it's time, it's experience. As you go, again, pointing back to other technologies, let's look at fluorescent to LED. I remember, I won't say who it is, but if she's out there listening, I hope she realizes it was her. I remember sitting there, and I think it was 2012, 2013, and I, set up my LEDs. It was early on, and was ready to do this great presentation. And, first thing the designer said is, I will never use LED again. I hate LED. I was burned. And why? Because, the color was very blue. It was difficult to get the colors of incandescence and halogens and so on. It was inconsistent when you got it there. Batching and so on. It was just really bad. And I understand why they would say that, but look at today, try to find anything other than an LED. So again, time and time again, this always happens over and over again. We run into all the time where, I had a really bad Zigbee experience. I had a really bad Wi-Fi experience. Certainly people have had bad wireless mesh experiences, but the technology that delivers the ROI or delivers the better, experience wins out. We can see in this industry, depending on who, which market research you read about the timing, but definitely wireless mesh is the chosen provider or chosen way forward for wireless. Will it eclipse wired in the next year? No, probably not. Will it eclipse in the next 2 years? I don't know, maybe 3 years, probably. But with that being said, it won't fit everything. There's always going to be a need for PoE. There's always going to be a need for, standard wired dolly systems. There's always going to be a need, for the traditional systems. But time will tell. Time is going to show what this technology can do. And anytime that you have return on investment, you have good customer experience, and you make people's lives easier, that technology will win out.
So let's say I'm sold on this then. I mean, you know, yeah. I'm a new designer to all of this, and I want to do Kasambi because I listened to this podcast and I'm really interested. You know, what's my first step?
Well, engaging with us or our reps or our partners, we make it really simple. All we need to have is a lighting schedule, a reflected ceiling plan. If you have a control intent, and I remember maybe a few podcasts back, Shoshana Siegel talking about you know, control intent, you probably don't have the control intent, but if you do, that would be great too. You know, that gets us started. We just take that in and we have a design applications group. They can do the layout. Our reps can do the same thing. We train our reps with all of our tools to be able to do the same thing, but we're trying to make the customer experience or the user experience really simple from the design through to the end user. And starting with that lighting schedule and the reflected ceiling plan is really all it takes.
All right. So then you get your reflected ceiling plan. You get your design engineers on the task and have them do the layouts and send back a bill of material, and project goes to bid. Everything's great. What next? You know, who does the work on the construction side of things?
We're not unlike, you know, any traditional type of a system, in that, you know, you do your design, you do your implementation. We have professional services that can come in and do the startups. Certainly you have your pre-wiring meetings, you know, maybe your walkthroughs, you have your delivery, and then, you know, roundabout afterwards, maybe you come back and do focusing and so on. That same process exists. What we do differently is that we have because of the technology, because you're just dealing with a switch, a sensor, and a light fixture as being the only necessary hardware in a job, it's easier for the electrical engineer to design with. In a way, for them, it's a return to the 80s. All they have to do, if we're going luminaire level lighting control, you know, wireless mesh, all they have to do is just plan out the circuit and just say, okay, let's just electrify the ceiling. If they're going to a zone level approach and we're using power packs, well, they got a little bit more work to do. But the point is that they don't have to worry about planning where to put panels. They don't have to plan where to put maybe a hub in the ceiling. So it makes their job a lot easier. If you go down the line and luminaire level lighting control comes in, you know, installed, the smarts is installed into the fixture, delivered on site. Well, the EC, all they have to do is take fixture A out and put it up in the ceiling. And, you know, hook up the line voltage. Again, if they go zone, well, they've got a little bit more work to do. But their work is greatly simplified versus that of the traditional approach.
And so who does the programming when you're doing an LLLC project?
Well, with Kasambi, again, either we do it, one of our partners, we've got partners that will cover the whole nation, partners that are, select locations. And then we also have the representatives. And the fun part is that we actually have a lot of customers that do it themselves. So we'll teach them. Maybe let's say it's a retail account. We go in and they have, you know, consistency in their project managers. We'll go in and we'll teach them. They'll do one with us, and then the next one they'll do. And maybe they need us to remote in and take care of a couple little things. And then they'll do the third one. So there's a lot of flexibility. You certainly don't need to call the Kasambi guy and have him come in. It is a lighting control system, so you do need to have some expertise and some smarts about you to be able to make it happen, but it is a much more simplified approach. So it could be done by us, partners, or even the end user.
So interesting. So you mentioned the ability to remote in, right? And this is something that we've been having a lot of discussions about lately with people, is how much of a benefit personally I see, and I know others see, to being able to remote into systems. So what is required on your end in order to do that? And is that then a value add service that there's an additional cost to for you, or how does that work?
For us, there's two ways that you can do it. One is remoting in through a iPad, you know, some sort of a pad, a device that's on site, whether that's a cell phone or a tablet. Our software actually has a toggle in it in the application where you can enable gateway. So that means that in a situation where a, let's say, again, I'm going to use a retailer because retailers have the guys in IT with the pocket protectors, and you don't want to get them upset. You don't want them to have to come out and to take a look and say, make sure that, you know, nothing's going to impede on their networks and so on. So you want to go really simple. We could take a phone call, say to the store manager, do you have your cell phone? Yes. Do you have the Kasambi application on it? Yes. Okay. Go in, enable gateway, and now our support can go in. They can then peer into the network. They can make the changes that are necessary and then log off. And the neat thing is then the store manager can just say, okay, disable gateway. Nobody can then come on. IT guys, very happy. Second way is that we can have a gateway sitting there, ever present, always available. There's multiple reasons why you would want to have that. You know, or not have that, but with us, you do have the two choices. Remoting in is a benefit that we supply. It is not charged for. It's just part of our support. I think the alternative is somebody comes walking in with, you know, with their bag, looks at the panel and kind of shakes their head and goes, you know. That's going to cost you $5,000. That's something that you won't have, that won't happen from us. Or to be fair too, I think others of our ilk of the software side that have that type of capability to remote in, it's a definite benefit of our, you know, controls 2.0 revolution that's happening right now.
Since you're a heavily software focused brand, I feel a number of my lighting designer colleagues tapping on my shoulder, asking me about something, which is, you know, what if there's a feature that I want that's not currently available in Kasambi?
Yeah. I'd love to say absolutely to have it there in 2 weeks, but, you know, it's a consideration like anything else, the time, the effort, and so on. I can say that our application has grown tremendously because of the input of our clients, the lighting design specification community. It's maybe a little bit easier than the hardware versions to make some changes, but you know, we like anything else, consider the input and make changes based on.
So, can you share an example of a feature that was added through this process?
Yeah, since it's really interesting is that, you know, again, going back to these modules, this is 0 to 10. It also has a software module or what we call a profile that can run on that so we can talk Dolly. I've got another one over here which looks very much like this one, but this one's for DMX. So in environments, and this happens a lot, and this is why people come to us, is that we can have multiple protocols in a very small space. One of the projects that we have in New York City is in one room, there's trailing edge dimming, there's 0 to 10, and there is pulse width modulation, which is low voltage linear. When you have that, you've definitely got different drivers. So we had designers come to us and say, hey, everything's got a different dimming curve. Is there a way that you could smooth out the dimming curves? Well, we couldn't completely change the behavior. We could trim the bottom, trim the top, and we can kind of smooth out that dimming curve. That's a good example of something that, you know, a designer came to us, we looked at it and said, oh yeah, you know what? We can do that. And that's a pretty good, pretty easy thing for us to do. So that was a quick one.
So do your devices require updates, right? Are there times where you have to be able to do updates, or, you know, it ships this date, you know, everything's stable and it could stay that way for the next 10 years.
I mean, because of our ecosystem, I can't tell you what day and what version of software the Mikwong 450 power pack has on it compared to, you know, another device that's coming from another manufacturer. So during the startup process, the first thing that happens is that the system updates. So everything all of a sudden comes up to the same level. So from that point on, you can just turn off updates and just let it ride. If there was some critical update that needed to happen for some reason, there would be an email or that would go out, or there would be a notification that would pop up in the application that says, hey, we highly suggest you do this. And then you could download that update. But the point about that is that updates for us, while maybe is not unique to us, it's certainly, we're certainly one of the few that actually will do updates over the air. So we've made it really easy to distribute those updates. Then the client makes the choice. Do you want to accept that update? Do you want it to go through the system? And the cool thing, again, that second cool thing is that updates for us happen while the system is in use. You don't notice it. And in a way, it kind of happens in a viral way, meaning that the update starts with one and then it starts to propagate through the network.
And so just to dig a little bit deeper into that, you know, what if the site has no internet connection? What if it's in a really remote location where there's no way to get that information out?
Yeah. Well, do you have cell capabilities?
Yeah. So if I mean, yeah.
You don't always though.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's. Yeah. Go ahead, Ron.
You don't always have cell capabilities. I mean, there's a lot of times where we get on job sites and there's no cell. There's been plenty of times I have to walk out of the building to make a phone call or download a file. So how do you deal with something like that?
Yeah. I mean, if you are completely in a vault, then that is a challenge. And typically when you're in a vault like that, then you've got some kind of Wi-Fi access. But you know, you need to have access to the internet in some way, some shape to be able to get those up.
Part of the planning process for this is making sure that you have access to the internet in some capacity, whether it's cellular with a mobile hotspot or it's a Wi-Fi connection through the building internet. But, you know, I think that that's becoming a much more common expectation on lighting control solutions. And so as a result, I think, you know, a lot of designers out there and builders should keep in mind the fact that they need to keep aware of how they're getting internet access for these systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I honestly, I can't think of a time that we have been SOL on site with no access whatsoever. I have been sitting out in the sports complex, and no access to Wi-Fi, and I had to go over to the cellular network. But that's, I can't think of a time where we really didn't have access at all.
I guess Ron and I are just really unlucky in that capacity, but we're almost out of time here. So I want to take what we've talked about, because this is good stuff. And I think, you know, what you guys are doing is really fascinating and really helping move the needle a little bit further when it comes to lighting control solutions. But, you know, you're with Kasambi, which is primarily a software. You have a couple of pieces of hardware, but mostly you partner with hardware developers, NLC companies that provide the hardware for you to latch onto, because you're really focused on the interoperability and the function, as well as the user interface and the user experience, to make sure that a lighting control solution is really at your fingertips, so that you can really have this smooth process from specification to completion. And I think, you know, in a lot of cases, a lot of manufacturers will do both. They'll provide both the hardware and the software. And while that's sometimes really nice, it's also limiting because of the fact that you're stretching your focus in two different directions. And so having this group that's really heavily focused on all of the software gives you that latitude to be able to adapt. And as you mentioned, you've changed over the years. I remember Kasambi when it first started out, and you know, I remember seeing like trackheads and people pulling out their iPhones and doing just like small dimming adjustments, and that was it. And it's really evolved since then. And so, you know, it's really worth paying attention to where you guys are and where you're heading, because it's really a fascinating trajectory. Additionally, you know, you guys have a lot of support and have been through the ringer when it comes to applications. Maybe you haven't mm-hmm. been to sites that Ron and I have where there's no cell signal, but you've definitely seen a lot that the world can throw at you, especially because you're based in Europe, the headquarters anyways. But yes. You've managed to do what Dolly hasn't, which is widespread penetration in this in the North American market. And I think part of that is because you've leveraged the wireless protocol as opposed to the wired protocol. I don't necessarily agree that in 3 years we're going to see it eclipsing wired. I think wired is probably going to always be a heavy contender to wireless. But I do think that wireless is really getting a good foothold in our industry and has a fair share of the market at this point. And so people who immediately rule out wireless are already at a disadvantage by making that choice. And so, you know, it's really just, I can't say this enough. It's such a fascinating thing to think about how, you know, a lot of people think wireless lighting controls, they still think hardware. And yet there is so much behind the scenes going on that they don't realize it.
It's definitely the largest growth part of the controls industry. And that's primarily because it's making controls more accessible to, you know, maybe areas or you know, projects where they would have liked to use it, but it was too complex, too expensive in the past. It's certainly making compliance with building codes a lot easier. And that's, you know, a big part of it moving forward. And then, you know, as people are talking about sustainability, people talk about sustainability in a lot of different ways. They talk about modular design. They talk about local sourcing. They talk about, you know, changing materials so they're more eco-friendly. You know, Kasambi basically just says, hey, just don't use the material. Don't use the wires, don't use the pipe, don't use the gang boxes. Think about, you know, junction boxes that you can get off of a job because you don't have branch circuits going everywhere. Getting rid of gang boxes in the walls, getting rid of switch legs, 15 feet of wire, you know, innocently enough, costs 4 to 5 hours of roughing the finish. Could be as much as $500.
Right. So yeah, it does. It adds up very fast.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It really does. Yeah.
It's really interesting, right? To see how much you guys really do. You focus on software, you leave the hardware to the hardware guys, and you focus on the software, which for the designers, they're not stuck with just manufacturer A, right? A designer says, I really like this switch, but I like that light and I like this thing and I want that sensor.
Yes.
And you don't care what manufacturer they go with. As long as your device is the device is Kasambi enabled, that's all that matters. So it's offered so much flexibility.
Yeah, and that's the key to it. And maybe it's a little bit too of the learning curve is because designers, specifiers in general, really wanted to see a single name on something. Because it was like, if it doesn't say, you know, brand X on the switch, on the sensor, and this, you know, it's how does this work? Yeah. You know, and that was part of the learning curve. You know, you think about a computer network, how many different devices and so on make up. They don't all say Dell. They don't all say Cisco. They say all sorts of different things. So you're able to build a best of breed network. As you said, we truly don't care. We're agnostic to the hardware. But what we've done here in North America to make things easier is that we've created an entity which will bring all the pieces and parts together and then deliver them on site as, you know, basically from one point in, not in single boxes, but multiple boxes, you know, with everything together, just so you don't have to buy this from, you know, company A and buy that from company B. So as far as the designer is concerned, yeah, they can pick and choose what they want. There's a lot of benefit to that, but as far as delivering it and the practicality of it, the logistics of it, Everything comes out of one warehouse and everything shows up on site.
Yeah, and I think that's really important for all of the designers and engineers and everyone who is listening to realize that it doesn't matter. They can pick all of these other products from various manufacturers and create the design that they want and the design that's best for their client and get exactly what they need without having to sacrifice, right? In the past, you've always had to make sacrifices. If you are manufacturer A, you are stuck with manufacturer A. And if it doesn't have this one thing you want, but it has everything else, well, then you work around it, right? You're not forced to do that with Kasambi. You can have you can have your cake and eat it too. Like, what more could you ask for, right? Like, that's where this is going. And I think that's why you're starting to see so much adoption, right, of Kasambi. And I think why we've seen it grow so quickly, where everyone, every time you turn around, there's Kasambi, Kasambi, right? I think you're starting to see more of it and getting people to understand exactly that you're not a manufacturer, because I'm not sure that everyone actually understands that, right?
No, they really don't. Most conversations usually start with, oh, well, you're this or you're that, or, you know, and they're, they think that we're the manufacturer of all of that. And as I said, although it's probably the biggest part of our superpower, this incredible ecosystem of products that's building, because of what you said, choices. You've got, you know, 15 different manufacturers of switches, 7, 8 different of sensors, any light fixture that you want, you can choose, and you can enable it with a Kasambi module or drive it with a power pack. This is something that helped us during the supply chain crisis. You know, COVID, you know, basically locked down all these factories, and there was brands, you know, that were taking 30 something weeks and longer to deliver. Well, we were finding that, hey, if this 2-button switch isn't available, there's another manufacturer that has a 2-button switch that's very similar to this. And we never got outside of 6 weeks. An unintended but beautiful benefit. And it really kind of shined the light on just what this does. The other thing that's been happening is there's been a lot of talk in the design community about, you know, brands, and it's not just control brands, but, you know, lighting brands and so on that force you into using, you know, lights from this brand and
yes,
you know, with this controls. That with us, you know, all the independents out there, we can be that glue for them, that you know, that brings their system together into a controls environment. We're not, the lighting designer isn't told that, hey, if you want to go to color tuning, well, then you've got to use this specific brand of lights.
Right.
It's, well, you know, choose a light from USAI, choose a light from LF, choose a light from Forma Lighting, choose a light from wherever you want to get it. You know, we can still drive it.
Yeah. And I think it's great. And it's really nice to see. And I think as more designers and engineers understand the benefits of that and see the benefits of the technology, at the end of the day, it really does come down to education, getting in front of people, between whether it's, you know, it's you, it's McWong, it's the reps, it's your other partners, it's everybody, about letting people see the technology, play with it, have the case studies out there, being able to provide those mock-ups to people who are still unsure about wireless. But there's a lot of benefits here and a lot of benefits to the way that you guys are handling that. And if any of our listeners have questions, reach out to all of those people and ask them those questions and see what benefits there are to wireless, because wireless is really starting to take over, and wired's not going away, but there are applications where wireless simply just makes more sense. So Peter, really, thank you so much for coming on today and sort of explaining to us a little bit more about Kasambi and what you guys do, and letting people sort of understand everything that you have out there and how you guys go about your business, and letting, you know, hopefully that opens the eyes of some of the designers and engineers to see that they're not stuck with just a single source manufacturer solution anymore.
Yep. Well, thank you guys for having me. It was a pleasure. And hopefully we'll see you again soon.
For sure. So I will just take a second to remind everyone that today's episode was presented by the LCA, the Lighting Controls Association.
And it's financially supported by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, or NAILD. Check out our website, lightingcontrolspodcast.com, for all of our episodes and newsfeed, and even a merch store if you want to support the podcast. Additionally, check my presentation out with Rita Renner at Leducation this year in March. It's going to be a good show, and hopefully we'll get to see you there. Maybe Ron might be there too. But also, huge thanks to our sponsor for this episode, Mick Wong. Check them out, mickwonginc.com. They have some fantastic product that we alluded to on this episode. They are a great partner of Kasambi. They are that hardware if you're looking for software for Kasambi to operate on top of. They are an industry leader, award-winning products, as well as full-on support within North American marketplace. So really check them out. Worth seeing what they have to offer for your next Bluetooth mesh solution, mickwonginc.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we'll see you next time. But until then, thank you. And Peter, thank you so much. This was a great conversation.